Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pipe. Now, when you started infant school, when you started school, when you were 4 or 5 years old, were you potty trained? Were you dry? I think that the answer is almost certainly yes. In fact, it was a basic assumption that a child does not start school until that child is potty trained. But increasingly, it seems, in the UK, children are being sent to school not yet potty trained. When they can't be potty trained at school, so the result is that they are sent to school wearing nappies, and there is wetting themselves, and having to be sent to school with changes of clothes, and there is increasingly pressure on teachers to have to change nappies and all this kind of thing, which is definitely not part of their job description. I was amazed to discover this was going on, and it strikes me as being a marker of really, you know, of decadence, of the winter of civilization, or of something having gone very seriously wrong with society. And I want to explore why in a moment, but it was drawn to my attention by an article in the Mail Online called "I'm a Furious Primary School Teacher. Why Should I Change a Six-Year-Old's Nappy Just Because Their Middle-Class Mums Are Too Busy to Teach Them to Use the Loo?" Now, in this article, she talks about how a mother dropped off her child at school but forgot to drop off a spare set of clothes and some nappies. She said she'd return within an hour and a half with what was necessary, but she didn't. And so when the teacher rang up the mother to ask what was going on, the mother said, "I don't have time. He's at school now, so it's your problem now." Now, this teacher explained that at the school at which she teaches, there has to be a bank of spare clothes, of spare underwear, and of nappies, wipes and lotions, all of which, of course, comes out of the school budget, and that she spends a significant amount of her time having to change the nappies or change the clothes of children who are between the ages of 5 and 7. And of course, this takes time out of the lesson when she could be teaching kids or helping kids that need extra attention. So basically, it causes primary school teaching to work less well. Now, she wrote this in response to an article also published in the Mail Online by a woman called Shona Sibari, who said that she feels slightly guilty about having to drop off her kids at school not potty trained and with nappies and with spare sets of underwear, but what can she do? Why should she feel bad about it? She's a busy working mum. She simply doesn't have time. Now, this struck me as simply summarising the problem, as encapsulating the problem, not having time. What does it actually mean? What does it actually say about what's happening to society that children, for the first time since there was compulsory schooling, are being sent to school aged 5, not yet potty trained? They were able to potty train them in the 1870s. They were able to potty train them in Victorian England. There was no problem then. So why is it now, 150 years later, we increasingly don't seem to be able to do that? Well, there are a number of reasons for this. I mean, first of all, you could argue that we are in a serious mismatch as to what needs to be the case. So there have always been working women, particularly among the English working class. You would always get a situation where the father would work and the mother would work as well. But the women would often work near the home. The women were under less pressure. The women weren't travelling a long way, you know, from outer London to inner London or whatever, into work. The women weren't under so much pressure. And so it probably is true that there was literally more time to potty train children than there is now, even in a situation where the mother was working as well as the father. But that can't be everything, because there are surely plenty of working mothers out there, of mothers who work full time, who are able to potty train their children. So something else is going on. The second issue, I suppose, is really just individualism, a lack of social shame. And this is what seems to be encapsulated in what this Shona Sabri has to say. This is what you get towards the end in the winter of civilization. In high civilization, you get a group-oriented society, and there is a great deal of social shame. And you understand and you imbibe the idea that you must conform to societal norms, and if not, it is utterly shameful and there's something very wrong with you, almost at a spiritual level. And so, of course, you make sure that you do not get socially shamed. Now, one object of social shame would be, of course, traditionally, the idea that you would send your 5-year-old child to school with nappies and not yet potty trained. And it would also be utterly, utterly shameful for the child to wet itself or whatever at school. I remember when I was at school, there were some children when I was 5 that did occasionally do that. And it was the most shameful, shameful thing. And it was difficult to live down. Now, this, of course, starts to die out in a highly individualistic society. You take the view that, oh, I can't be bothered. I'm so important. My time is so precious. What's the point? There's no sense of shame. I'm too busy. I'm too important to do this. And I don't care. I simply don't care. Because that social shame that you get in a relatively group-oriented society starts to die out. And the third reason, I think, is just it's just decadence. It's just laziness. It's an understanding that there is this complex, highly developed society that is there, and it will do things for you. And therefore, you just don't need to do basic things anymore. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take control of it. It's not up to you. And I would see this as part of a broader trend whereby increasingly very basic things that used to be obvious that you would do are not done anymore, and very basic skills are not passed on. So, for example, obviously people have lost the ability to grow food. Back when a lot of houses in the UK were built, there was a garden, a back garden, and the reason for that back garden was so people could grow their own food. Now, nobody grows their own food. Nobody engages in any kind of gardening like that. People might have some flowers or whatever in their garden, but nobody actually grows their own food. That skill has basically gone. The next skill that goes in a very, very wealthy society is the ability to just cook. And increasingly you find people do not cook, people do not pass on the skills to cook, and people just don't cook. So they spend vast amounts of their money on takeaway food and on convenience food and on microwave meals and on ready meals that are made for them, because they don't have the ability to cook. Now, the next kind of laziness, it seems to me, is simply teaching your child to be dry before it starts school. The assumption is that somebody else will be there to take care of that for you, that the state will take care of that for you, that teachers will take care of that for you. And that really is encapsulated in that quote from earlier, where the mother says that, he's at school, so it's your problem now. As though your own child is not your problem, it's nothing to do with you. It's not in loco parentis, it's parentis, that the teacher must do this. It's up to someone else. And that kind of laziness, that kind of just self-indulgent laziness can only exist in a society that is so wealthy and where you really don't have to worry about anything, and you feel that you don't have to worry about the future and whatever. And so you can just cast out your responsibilities to other people. Now, of course, this is going to have a very damaging effect if this carries on the education system, that you will, the education system will basically become more expensive. Of course, you will need not just a teacher in a classroom, but a classroom assistant, because somebody has to be there to literally clean up the mess of parents that can't be bothered to, or so they say, don't have time to teach their children to be dry before their children come to school. And time will be taken out of the lessons to have to organise this. And as it increases, as parents increasingly don't bother to make sure their children are potty trained, then this will become worse and worse and worse, and less teaching will be done, and children will be less and less able to read, less and less numerate, and it will just have a snowball effect and create a worse and worse system. Now, I don't think, I often talk about intelligence on this channel, I don't suppose this has much to do with intelligence or the decline in intelligence. It may have to a very minor extent, but I think it's unlikely, because even in societies that do not have a great deal of cognitive capital, there's no problem making sure children arrive at school dry. So I think a big part of it is simply that there is no incentive. There is less of an incentive, probably due to a lack of social shame and individualism, to make sure that children are dry when they start school. I mean, it really isn't difficult to teach a child to be potty trained. And so this development, that, and the woman was saying in the article that it's increasingly middle class mothers as well that say they don't have time. This development is a serious problem. It speaks to a number of different issues, to general decadence, to individualism, and really, it's true, to a situation where there is so much pressure on the time of women that they may be right, that they just don't have what they feel is enough time to potty train their children. But of course, some women will prioritise it. Some women will see that as so important that they simply must do it. And that becomes a matter, I think, of social shame, of something that we've very much lost. Now, if you've been following events at the Jolly Heretic Public House, you may have noticed that things have been changing in the nature and the quality of the videos. And that's because certain things have been changing behind the scenes. Certain interesting people have been becoming interested in what's going on. And so, yeah, there's change afoot. And in that regard, we have some very exciting events coming up. Now, we already had a very exciting event in London in October. And there was 90 people that turned up from all walks of life who had... We had fantastic fun. They learned about life behind the scenes at the Jolly Heretic Public House and what's going on and what's changing. And I got to meet people and chat with people and have a beer, and it was and talk about the Neo-Byzantium, the idea that we are going to be the holdouts of civilization, are going to find a way to keep civilization going and keep something preserved against all the chaos. And so that went very, very well. And so we thought, what about people that live in the north of the country? What about people that live in the north of the country? And so in that regard, I'm very pleased to announce that there's going to be another in-person event. This is going to be in Liverpool on the 16th of December. And that will be for those that, of course, missed out on the London event. And again, it will be a chance to look behind the scenes at the Jolly Heretic, to find out what's going on, to meet like-minded, naughty, heretical people. And of course, to learn about the Neo-Byzantium that we're trying to build. And then the night before that, there will be another exciting event, and that will be in London. And this will be a Christmas dinner with the night before with me and some very select people. Some very select people, many of whom you will have heard of and you'll be rather interested to meet. And so this will be a chance to sort of talk about these things at a deeper level and to have a to celebrate Christmas, albeit a bit early, and to really have a great deal of fun and to imbibe and whatever, but also to talk about what's going on and talk about the future of civilization. So I would be most grateful if as many of you as possible would like to come to either of these events. And I look forward to seeing you there. I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to chatting with you, getting to know you. And the links are in the description.
Are you ready for the future of the West?